Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we study the final piece in the whole armor of God. In this study, we look at the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, you can send those to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And this is part 1 of 2.
All right, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll get into our study. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to cover verses 14 through 17. And we're going to be pretty much closing out our study of the armor of God this week with this study, but we'll continue along the theme as we close out Ephesians chapter 6 in the next couple of weeks. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, and we just ask that you help us to clear our minds and be able to pay attention to what you have to say, and Lord, that what I say is in line with the word, and Lord, you just help us to get what you have for us this morning. I pray everyone can relax and enjoy our time in your word. Lord, that we can throw off all the distractions and to look at your word as our authority. Look at your word without being burdened with man-made ideas, and to be able to really allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And we thank you for that Holy Spirit ministry, for teaching us and guiding us through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As I said, Ephesians 6, we're going to focus in on the end of verse 17, as you'll see. And we're coming to the last piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And let's just go ahead and read beginning of verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, as we join together as a church family and we open our Bible and study, we want to be used of God, so we're being equipped. You're learning so that God can use you, but it's also so that you can live your life the way that's pleasing to Him. And some of the instructions are pretty simple. And one of those is that you should fellowship with the saints. You should have a local church that you identify with and you fellowship with. If there's one within driving distance, and if there's not, you come when you can, as the Hoffmans are here with us this morning. And we have others who couldn't be with us today because of the storms south, and they come from a pretty good distance south. So sometimes, you know, you can't always be with the local church, but you ought to be there when you can. Amen? And I ran into some local folks recently who didn't seem interested in attending a local church. This is right here in this neighborhood, actually. And they said they watched church on TV. And that just reminded me of this thing that Brother Wade Thiessen, some of you all know him from the social media, Facebook, but he also visited with his lovely wife, Cornessa. They were here with us about a year ago, I think it was. And he posted this little meme that I want to show you. It says, it's how everybody meets at the gates of heaven, you know, how all those jokes start and everything. And he says, and to you who did not actually go to church but watched it on television, you will not actually go to heaven, but will be allowed to watch it on television. I think that's a good idea. So thank you, Brother Wade. That was good. So we've studied the girdle of truth. We talked about the necessity of believing in truth. If you don't believe in truth, then that includes the Word of God, then you're not girdled about with the truth. The only way to be girdled about with the truth is to believe in truth and to believe the Word of God. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness, that it's not self-righteousness. And a lot of people get that attitude once they have a little time under their feet as a Christian and God starts to mold them and they do become a better Christian. Suddenly, they have arrived and they think that they can look down their snoot at people and all that sort of thing. And we've been studying about Nebuchadnezzar. He represents the kind of thing we're going to deal with. When you get saved after you grow up, there's a lot of people still need to grow up. And you got to have some patience. And we have the breastplate of righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And that is when nothing can penetrate the arrows of the enemy. He can't bring up your past and get you in the chest with a dart from your past, because Jesus Christ has washed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that's the kind of thing we see when we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Then we looked at your feet being shod with the gospel of peace. That means you know the gospel. You're not only saved, but you're assured that you understand the gospel, and you have confidence then to go out and actually preach the gospel to others. So you're not only on the defense, but you're actually on the offense. According to the battle. According to the battle. You have to use some discernment. Sometimes you're talking to somebody and you have to be a little defensive. Other times you have to be a little offensive. It's according. Most Christians today are never offensive.
Yeah.
They are just always sitting back and always trying to dodge the darts and then, okay, is it over? Can I put my stuff down now? That's how Christians live today. Too many of them. And we're supposed to be in the battle, amen? Paul came to the end of his life and said, I fought the good fight of faith. He didn't say, boy, been quite a trip. Enjoyed this vacation. Now I'm going to heaven. But most Christians are on vacation. And so we want to also wield the shield of faith. And we went into detail in the last study. I won't review all that. But faith cometh by what? And hearing by, and that leads us then to the helmet of salvation, because knowing the Word of God, we become more confident in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. You're saved by simple faith, but you shouldn't stay simple. And as you grow, you understand and you have assurance, and that then serves as a helmet, and it protects you from the blows to the head. And you'll see Christians, we said this last week, you see Christians lose their minds, go off the deep end. And it has a lot to do with not having the helmet of salvation on to protect them from the blows. And we went over the different parts and how they looked in Paul's day when he actually wrote this. And we see the girdle and the breastplate and the shield up on the top row. And then we have feet shod. And the helmet there at the bottom. And now we come to the sword in verse 17. And this is a picture of what that sword generally looked like that was used in battle. They didn't have a long sheath. You know, they had to be able to do close battle with it. But they also didn't want to have just a dagger because they wanted to have a little bit of distance. And so over years of fighting, and actually centuries of experience, that's where they settled as far as the length and the shape of the sword that the Roman soldier would use. And so then you come fully armed for the battle. And if a Roman soldier showed up without a piece of the armor, he wouldn't fight. And that was for his sake. And God is telling you, put on the whole armor for your own sake, If you're going to fight, you better have the whole armor on. And that's why he went piece by piece. And we come down to the sword of the Spirit. And I want to touch on 2 points before we move on. Number one, it said this sword is what?
Spirit.
Over in John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And this is talking about your salvation and your walk with God. It's spirit. It's not flesh. That's why when we do things like baptism, we make sure you understand that being dipped in water is not saving you. That's something you do in the flesh to tell the world what's happened in the spirit. You're saying, "I have been saved by the death, burial, and resurrection. I now identify with that death, burial, and resurrection." So we put you under water and bring you up out of the water, picturing new life.
Amen.
It's scary, though, how many people you'll hear give a testimony. They claim to be Christians, and they'll give a testimony, and they'll talk about how they went and got baptized and had their sins washed away. And if you listen, you'll hear some of the celebrities who claim to be Christians give that kind of a testimony. H2O, water out of the faucet or in a creek or in a lake or in a river. H2O, water does not wash your sins away.
Amen.
It's only by the blood of Jesus that your sins are washed away. And that's spirit. And so Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit." Now, look at your Bible there. You got your Bible open? That Bible is not spirit. When it comes to the pages, when it comes to the cover, when it comes to the words, even as they're written on there, that's ink, right? But as you read those words, and the Bible puts it in the term of hearing, whether it's through your eyeball or your earball, you hear the Word of God. And it's by hearing that the Spirit gives you faith. See, it was Jesus speaking the words. They heard the words, and those words were spirit. Yes, they wrote them down for our sake. They wrote them down so that we'd have them for generations now, going on 2,000 years. But the words are spirit, and so owning a Bible, and how many people know this, know people like this? They own a Bible, and they have one on the shelf, or have, some of them have them right in their home, open up. And it collects dust. And some people even carry a Bible on them and they never open it and read it. They you know what you call that? Superstition. They're treating the Bible like it's a rabbit's foot. And even a rabbit's foot doesn't do you any good. It didn't do the rabbit any good. He's dead. You've got his foot. So what makes you think that rabbit foot's going to do you any good? Just got him killed. Amen? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And then the second thing, though, on the flip side of that coin, this does not negate the responsibility of owning a sword for self-defense. And I want to bring that out because too many Christians think that they're a ghost. You're not a ghost. You are in the flesh. How many of you said have run across people and say, "Well, I'm not with you at church in the bodily, but I'm there in the spirit." You know what I've told people? Please stop doing that. That's scary. We don't want a bunch of spirits floating around. We would like for you to be here in the body. Amen? Now, when someone's a shut-in or something and they say that, that's sweet. That's nice. They mean that their heart is in it. They wish they could be there with you. But we are still flesh. And I know you guys all believe that, and you know that. And if you say otherwise, you're a hypocrite, because I know every one of you are going to eat today.
Right.
Why? Because you're feeding your flesh. Amen?
Amen?
And some of you might sit down and have a nice hot cup of coffee. Some of you, like Jenny, will have a big glass of milk and put a little bit of coffee in there. Yeah. Then, some of us then after what, about noon or 1 or 2 o'clock, sometimes I'll go later, but I'll switch over to tea. Why am I doing that? It's to please the flesh. It's to give myself a little bit of a break. And I don't spend a lot of money on those things. It's not real expensive, but I'm able to give myself a little bit of a break. Even Jesus took care of His flesh. You know that? Jesus, not only did He eat, one of the things He did, and this is not just, I'm not complaining about anybody here. I'm just telling you, all of us, this is true about all of us, you need to get away from people sometimes. Jesus would go up and get away from them. They'd chase Him. And He'd get in a boat. And they'd chase Him. And He'd go up on the mountain. And they'd chase Him. And after He got enough time away from Him, finally He's like, okay. I made Him. I guess I should be around Him a little bit. But why do I get away from people? Jenny, every Saturday, man, she gets away from me. Yeah, she goes off with her mom for a little bit and then goes here and there and she gets away from me. Why? Because just trust me, you hang around with me enough, I'll get under your skin. If you ever want to try it, we'll hang out for a while. And, you know, that's true about you too. I hate to break it to some of you, but we got like a meter and we can only stand so much before we hit the F button, the full. The tank is full, see you later. But we do these things because we're flesh. Now, it is just as important for you to defend yourself and others. And I want to put this there because through the years it's been a shame and a disgrace that preachers have been derelict in duty in explaining to believers that you have a duty. Not just yourself, you may have to protect somebody else. And if you haven't taken it upon yourself to have a sword. Now, are we literally talking about if that's what you want to carry around, and you better look at the laws. I think they only allow you to have a blade about that long. But you ought to pray about what it is you should carry. Some people have these things that make loud noises. Other people have it. You can carry air horns. You know, if someone does something wrong, it's like... I don't know what that'd do other than maybe give the guy a heart attack and he'll stop attacking whoever. But the idea, I think, is to attract attention, then somebody else will come and save you. I prefer the idea of you take care of yourself. But this is between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you, one of the last things Jesus said before He went to the cross, and you know, I've heard preachers preach the last words of Jesus and they always neglect these last words. This is one of the last things He said to His followers before being arrested. Luke 22:36. Read that with me. Then said He unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? And I don't care what your preacher told you. I don't care what your mama told you. I don't care what your grandmama told you. I don't care about your opinion. I'm telling you because I love you enough to tell you the truth that you ought to have something to protect yourself and others. If it's red pepper spray, if it's the thing they tase. You know, don't tase me, bro. Well, don't violate anybody and I won't tase you. Or what's the other one? There's taser, there's red pepper spray, huh? Stun gun, whatever. Mace and guns. If you believe it's wrong for a Christian to own a gun and carry a gun, you've been taught falsely. There's one reason they're all coming to America. You want to know why? Guns. Because enough preachers and enough Christians had enough common sense to own a gun to protect themselves. Amen. And that's why we're not under dictatorship. Amen. And they all come to America and they want us then to become what they came from, You watch, and I'm talking Muslims right now, mostly Muslims, but the Europeans. Europeans come over here and they come from the socialist cesspool of Europe where they have no rights because they have no guns.
Amen.
And they come to America and want America to become what they left.
Wow.
Go back.
Amen.
Go back.
Amen.
Amen. Why do we own a gun? Because I have a responsibility to protect what is mine.
Right. Amen.
You go back under the law, it specified if somebody came in your house to kill or steal, and you killed them, you hadn't committed a sin.
Amen. Right.
Where did Christians get the idea that it was a sin to self-defense? Quakers and other Bible-rejecting fools. You want to know where the Quakers are today? Total apostasy. Why? Because once you start making things up and rejecting God's Word and making things up the way you see fit, then eventually you'll be totally apostate.
Amen. Yep.
And that's why America is in the mess it's in right now, because we're slowly throwing God's Word out and deciding what we think is right. And you know what? Listen to me. I hope I never have to shoot anybody. I pray I never have to shoot anybody. But if you come after my wife, you come after my daughter, you come after my son, you come after my grandbaby, even my son-in-law. But I want to warn you. I want to warn you. He's got his own. My son's got his own. The ladies are armed with either a gun or pepper spray or something. Why? Because it's your responsibility. No one else is supposed to take care of you. This idea that the police are supposed to take care of you. You know what the police do? They show up to clean up the mess. You call 911, you're basically calling a maid service. It'll take them several minutes, if not 10, 15, 20 minutes to get there. By then, you're dead. Amen. Now, what did Jesus say? I don't care if you don't even have to like me. You don't have to like what I'm saying. Jesus told you to buy a sword. Why do you call Him Lord and do not the things He said? Well, because Grandma always said. Well, your grandma was wrong.
Amen.
Karl Marx said, don't buy a sword. Barack Obama said, Hillary Clinton said, they can stuff it.
Amen.
The Word of God in Paul's first epistle to Timothy, he said this, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is damned and on his way to hell, and you're worse than that if you don't provide for your own house.
Amen.
I've had people say, well, he's talking about feeding your family. Don't add and change the Word of God like that. Ain't nothing in that text about feeding anybody.
Amen.
It's providing for them. And the entire Bible, every man provided food, shelter, love, protection.
Amen.
You fail, you're dealing with God, not with me. I'm just telling you. Amen, amen.
Amen.
A man should provide food, shelter, and a sword of protection. His sword is up to him. I know a guy with a ball bat, and he said, that's good enough for me. I said, well, that's fine, but if some guy comes in with a Glock, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And then he's going to do what he wants to with your family. I can't live with that. I'm not going to use a ball bat. I'll have a ball bat too. But that ain't all I'm going to have. And if nothing else, everybody listening to this knows, don't come to my house and don't come in this church. I'm not going to name names, but if somebody came in right now to shoot people up, they'd be shot from four different directions right now.
Amen.
And I want people to know that. You better believe it. Go to the liberal church and rob them. No one's armed. Amen. And if there is anybody armed, thou hypocrite. And the sword of the Spirit. See, the sword in the Roman day was the weapon that most people could get. Today, it's a gun. And like I said, I've mentioned this recently. Some of you have been brainwashed and scared to death by the television. The boob tube. You know why we call it the boob tube? Because if you watch it, you become a boob. Amen. You've got to be very choosy about what you watch on television. Amen. And very critical.
Amen.
I asked Jenny, I watch TV, but half the time sitting there said, what an idiot. That is so stupid. These people are brain dead. And that's just talking about the news media. Honestly, amen. But if I put a gun down here and preached, it could be loaded, one in the chamber, and sitting right there. Wouldn't hurt anybody. But you know what I was taught in school? If I went in a room and saw a gun, panic! Yeah, run! Now, what kids, if you walk into a room and there's a gun, you know what you should do? Stay calm. Go find dad or mom, or if you're somebody else's house, the adult, and say, excuse me, but there is a very fine looking gun, pretty thing, sitting out, and I don't think it's supposed to be out like that, so I just want to let you know. And I say, well, thank you. And they'd walk in and pick the gun up and put it away. See how easy that is? No one got hurt. No one had to panic. Don't have to take the kids for counseling. Why? Because they've been taught that a gun isn't a scary thing. It's an inanimate object. The car that you own isn't going to run over you either unless someone gets behind the wheel and runs over you. Amen. Don't be any more afraid of a gun than you are an automobile. You have respect. Respect, but not fear. Amen. See, we Christians live in a world of insanity, and we have to talk about these things.
Amen.
We need to get back on an even keel. Understand that all these unsaved liberals are stupid.
Amen.
We'd love to see them saved, get in the Word of God, and grow a brain. Amen? Something beyond the brain stem. But I'll tell you this too, and we're going to move on. God has ordained government to use a sword against evil. There's a lot of people, including Christians today, are almost anarchists. God has ordained government. And the only time you have to worry about it is A, if you're doing something evil, or B, tyranny. And in the case of B, you have permission to shoot back.
Amen.
Amen. You're to obey man as long as man doesn't require you to disobey God. But the moment tyranny demands you disobey God, you can ignore it.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 13:4 says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.